My name's Roy, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Roy.
And I don't like speaking in this microphones. I'm a little bit nervous. I feel like throwing up. We flipped the quarter, so I got to go first. never quite decided that before that way, but that's what we did. My buddy Colin back there asked me to do this. He's my favorite young guy in the program. I would do anything for him. I love him like a brother, and he really works this program for a young person. And I was thinking about when I came, I was coming here. I didn't want to drive over to Bay Bridge, when I went over to Bay Bridge just a few months ago, one of my closest friends that I had taken to meetings for a long, long time had been relapsing off and on for a long, long time, over 20 years, and he decided to end his life, and he drove up on that bridge, and he jumped. And for me, that's what this program is about. It's life or death struggle, you know. And so sometimes I may look a little bit serious, and sometimes I am very serious. I'm absolutely deadly serious about this program, because this is a disease that wants my life, and it's going to do everything it can to get it. And it's just waiting for me to let my guard down and get its way back in, and then it's going to take my soul, and then it's going to take my life. And so I do take this serious, and haven't been around a long time. I've witnessed many, 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 many people, way too many people, come and go and die. And it's a hard thing to do. I have issues with loss. My parents left when I was around 4 years old. They dropped me off at my grandparents and never came back. And this is not a good program for somebody with issues of loss. And because what happens in here is people come and this disease gets them again and they die. And it's a hard thing to put yourself out and love people, sponsor people, become a part of their life, and then they relapse and they die. But that's the truth. That's the plain truth about the program. And if you're not taking it as serious as life or death, you probably won't be able to keep it. And that's how I see it. You can do it however you want. We have no rules or regulations. You work this program how you work it, and that's how I work it. You know, I consider it a life or death struggle, and that for me, using is making a decision to die. And for me, it's going to probably be a long, miserable death, and I don't want that. My recovery date is August 8th, 1982. I don't say that to impress anybody. I just say that because that's the most important date in my life, more than anything else. I was given my life back on that date. Prior to that, I didn't have a life, and the life that I had was too ugly to talk about. And I was given my life back on that date, and that date is the most important date in my life. You know, I stopped celebrating birthdays because I keep getting older, and that's unfortunately, if you stay around here and you live, you're going to get older. But the most important date in my life is that date. And if you don't believe that the steps are a divine intervention, stick around, because they are. It is a divine intervention in the life of a hopeless, helpless, worthless individual can be given this gift, and his entire life can be changed to something unbelievable. And that's what happened for me. And I was a doubter of everything. I was a street person. I was a city person. And I grew up around hustlers, and I grew up around thieves, and I grew up around convicts, and I grew up around, all the dads in our neighborhoods were idolized because they were convicts. That's what I learned from the streets. So when I came in here, I was very doubtful. I was very suspicious. And I was always watching to see what you were doing. And I ended up in my last treatment program in August, July of 82. And I had actually went to New York, and that's not, I didn't, I went to New York, I got in treatment, they didn't follow my treatment plan, so I left. By the time I got there, I could write a treatment plan, I could write a detox, and they didn't follow it, so I said, you need to let me out. And, well, we're going to, so they locked me on a nut ward for 3 days and then let me out. I was on my way home, and this was one of the first divine interventions. I called my counselor and my methadone program, and I said, I'm coming back. Please be waiting for me. I'm coming back. And she said, no, you're not. We're not going to take you if you come back. You need to go on through with what you set out to do because we won't take you back. So I got off the train in Philadelphia, and I went to a program in South Philadelphia, and I detoxed there from 80 milligrams of methadone, 150 milligrams of Valium, anywhere from a pint to a fifth of vodka a day. And it was a detox to remember. Matter of fact, I remembered it so well, I'm still clean. And about a week or two into that treatment program, there was another dude from my work there. He was getting ready to discharge. I hadn't slept for a week and a half. I'd been up walking the halls all night. I said, listen, man, when you leave, you need to pull around front. I'm coming out. I'm getting in your car, and you're taking me back to Washington. And he said, no, man, well, I can't do that. Man, I'll get in big trouble. I take somebody out of a tree. I said, well, you know what? If you don't wait for me, when I get back to Washington, it's going to be worse for you. So I basically threatened them. And the next divine intervention was I was in a group. He got discharged, and he left without me. He left without me. And thank God where I'd be if he hadn't left without me. Thank God that that counselor hadn't said, you can't come back here. What I'd have missed, what I'd have missed. All the people, all the things, all the places, all the life experiences. I work in a methadone program, and what unfortunately I see is I get to see people who came on there when I came on and are still there.
Yeah.
And they don't look as young as I do. And things are really, really sad and really, really bad. And all I can think is, but for the grace of God, there goes I. I was walking these halls night and day. I called it the Eugenia Trail, and I actually had a path that I walked. It was a big facility, and I walked around this aisle and stuff and walked it day and night. And on the unit, some guys from Philly and New York started shooting dope. And then my roommate started shooting dope. And I was so sick, just so sick. And I remember going into my room, and one night after sitting at the side of my bed, hadn't slept for a couple weeks, my roommate was on low dose Librium, kicking alcohol, snoring like a, you know what, I was throw shit at him, They finally threw me out of the room, but I said, man, you drive me crazy. And I got up one morning, and I had been sitting on the side of the bed crying and in agony. I decided at one point to punch the walls. Now, I don't know where I came up with this plan, but the walls were stucco. You shouldn't hit stucco walls, So I was bleeding, I was crying, and I went into the bathroom, and I looked at myself. And I was weighing 240 pounds, and I was just disgusting. And I said, God, I don't know what's happened to me, and I don't know what your plan is for me.
Speak up a little. Speak up a little.
Yeah, talking to the mic.
Can anybody hear me? No?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
There you go. There you go.
I'll text you afterwards. And I said, God, please help me. I don't know what your plan is for me, but if it's for this to continue, I'd rather die. Please show me what it is that you want me to do. And if you help me get through this one, and I said this a lot of times, if you help me get through this one, I promise you, I'll do everything I can to never be in this position again. Just please help me, God. And later that day, a miracle happened. I was walking down the halls, and two of the dudes from Philly were, this one guy, he was like abscessed from head to toe, and from his knees to his feet were black, and he was using on the unit, and he walked by me. He was high as a kite, and I mean, if you use dope, you know what high is. And I looked at him, and as sick as I was, I didn't want it. I didn't want it anymore. I no longer wanted it. And in the past, if I saw someone high, there were no lengths that I wouldn't go to get to that point. And what happened for me was, can I have some water, please?
Joe, you can.
The greatest miracle this program has to offer happened to me through the first step. The obsession and compulsion to use was removed. And it's never come back. And that was the point that I believed. That's what it took for me to believe. When that happened, I knew there was a power greater than anything I'd ever known working in this program. And it worked for me in the steps. It worked for me in the first step. It worked for me in the first step with prayer to God to please help me. And from that point on, I've always asked Him in the morning to help me get through the day without getting high, and at night thanking Him for that gift of being able to get through that day without getting high. And and I'm nervous. So whenever anybody asks me about NA, I probably am not the most spiritual person all the time. You know, I went back to church. I did other things. I did lots of things. And but the one thing you could never get me to deny is that this program works. That I don't care where you come from. I don't care how bad off you were. I don't care how sick you think you were. I don't care how hopeless you think you were. This will help you. If you do what we say, this will help you. And so for me, part of coming to believe that something could help me was having that obsession and compulsion removed. I knew something was going on here bigger than anything. And back then, in the 80s, NA was really big in Philadelphia. And we'd have meetings on our unit, and there'd be 100 people that would come in to have a meeting. And I knew in that prayer, I felt it immediately in that circle, that something was going on. And I had no real religious or spiritual background. I basically was agnostic and on a bad day, atheist, you know. And I knew something was working in here. And I wanted, you know, I wanted my sanity back. I wanted my life back. The one thing I always did and struggled to maintain was that I wanted to be free again. I did not like the enslavement of drugs. I did not like the methadone program. I did not like every time I got paid, I gave it to somebody else. I did not like people telling me what to do. And I still don't like people telling me what to do. But back then, they could get away with it. You know, because I had to do what they said. You know, I had no choice. And at the end, when I came in, I basically was not as done with using as I was done with who I was. And I wanted to be a different person. I wanted to stop hurting other people because I was the person that hurt everybody every day. if you came in my life, you were going to get hurt. And I did not want to hurt anybody. And that's maybe a strange thought for somebody who's an addict and clean and just starting, but that was what I wanted. I just wanted not to hurt people anymore. Just please, I don't want to hurt people anymore. So I was allowed to, you know, give the gift of recovery back to my grandparents who suffered through how many years of my addiction and insanity and dealing drugs and just craziness. So when I was given back my sanity, I was able to treat them better and be there for them and be the kid that they always knew and was gone for a long, long time. And that helped, you know, the process of coming to believe happened with that and that experience. It was, for me, it wasn't hard to turn my will and life over because it was so bad. And I knew it was so bad because of what I did. I knew it was so bad because of how I thought, what my actions were after what I thought, and how I lived. And that I knew that I needed direction, you know. I knew I needed a sponsor, you know. I knew I needed someone to help me. Did I want to ask someone to be my sponsor? No. For me, that was like the hard, I mean, that just ain't cool. You know what I mean? Will you be my sponsor? Can I call you every day? Please. That shit just ain't cool, you know. And it's a guy, you know. Can I call you every day? I just really need to talk to you. So there wasn't, that was, that took some adjusting to. And I wasn't a person to talk very easily anyhow. I've always been kind of shy unless I had PCP and grain alcohol in me. Then that kind of brought out another person. But and that's what drugs did for me. It, you know, they unleashed that person that couldn't talk. It's funny, when I first got here and I'd have to speak, I don't know, I would sweat from every part of my body that sweat could come from. And I actually, sweat came from places I didn't know you could sweat from, you know. And I can remember being in a men's rap group and it going around a circle, and water would be running off my hand like somebody had a faucet over top of it. My heart would pound so hard that I could feel the veins in my neck going like this. And then when they'd ask me to share, I'd squeak. That's not cool. Not cool. You do not feel like a badass when you go eek eek eek, you know. It's like takes it all right out of you. Choom, you know, it's like I'm squeaking, man. This is not good. So it's been many years for me to be able to get to this point, to get to here. So if you're feeling like that, it's okay. And if you're feeling uncomfortable, it's okay. If you're feeling nervous, it's okay. Stay in your seat. Don't give it up. It's the most important seat you'll ever have. And I had some really weird concepts of the third step. Turning your will and your life over to the care of God. I thought, you know, one thing I remember is we were meeting in the basement of churches. Now, you know, I'm not really religious, and although I went to Sunday school because my grandmother would whip me with a stick if I didn't, and we're meeting in the basement, and I said, you know, this sounds pretty religious to me. We're in a church. I'm turning my will and my life over to the care of God. What exactly does that all mean? And someone simplified it for me. They said, in the basement here, we save asses. If you want your soul saved, you can go upstairs. But right now, you need your ass saved, and you're in the right place here in this basement. Get in that seat and hold on to it. And that's what I did. And but I had some other weird thoughts about it. I thought that I'd have to listen to Donny Marie Osmond for the rest of my life. If I turned my will and my life over, definitely couldn't be no hard rock or any kind of sexual connotation in the music, and you know, I'd no longer be able to cuss. You know, I'd have to straighten up my language, and definitely no sex on Sundays. That was out. Can't have, you know, that's the stuff I really thought, you know. But be honest with you, you can cuss any day you want. You have sex on Sunday as often as you want. And all that stuff is just stuff that we think, that because we don't know what to think, you know. And when I'm in my head, it's a dangerous place. And that evil guy still lives up there. And he's always talking, always talking. Never gives me a break. And so for me, turning my will and my life over is a daily thing, and to take it back, you know, and you don't become perfect. And I think the longer you're around here, it seems like it's getting harder. When I first came in, I was so afraid to make a mistake. I was like, you know, no mistakes. Can't make no mistakes. If you make a mistake, you're you know, and you're fucked. If you make a mistake, don't make it, you know. So they say do it this way, you need to do it this way. 25 years later, you know, sometimes I think I could step out of that because I'm not as afraid anymore. And but the one thing I never lose my fear of is drugs. And I respect that in every area of my life. I've been fortunate not to have to use any for anything that's ever happened to me. And I'm glad about that, and I want it to stay. Anyhow, I think I'm about talked out. But anyhow, thanks for listening to me, and I guess I'm done.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man. Love you, man. Thank you, Jeff.
I'm Roosevelt. I'm an addict. Wow, he made that part easy because I got this little chart up here where I'm supposed to let them know about their time. But Roy did a real good job. Let's give him another round of applause. Yeah. And for our next speaker, we have Brother Leon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you. Leon, addict.
Hey, Leon.
I know it's only but for God's grace and mercy that I'm here. I was just, Roy said 25, and I said, man, you got 48 years of recovery up here. Yeah, I got 23 and a half, you know. So this will be a good 1, 2, 3 because a lot of what he shared, you know, for me in the beginning, like this theme, it said one promise, many gifts. See, the one promise is easy. The many gifts is the hard part. Because I had to learn how to accept the many gifts that recovery give you. You know, so what we're talking about is struggling through this thing, you know, not that we have the time that we have to say that, you know, we don't struggle. You know, yeah, we struggle with this thing. I'm saying on my 20th anniversary, I shared this with the guys, and I let other people know, man, that this at 20, the program really began to start making sense to me. You know, I mean, a lot of me, I'm talking about me beginning to make sense to me, you know, because this thing here, man, we talking about some stuff, and I brought my little literature, right, because I'm trying to build a house here, so. If I don't bring my tools with me, you know, I might not be able to build my house. And I don't bring the literature to let you know I'm somewhere that I'm not. I just don't remember as much as I used to. So I have to go to the literature to kind of like bring me back up to speed, you know, because I try and live in the day, right, with this program, man. I don't want to be stuck in September 11, 1984, that's when it began for me. 27 years old at the time, you know, sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, started shooting dope at 15. You know, so kind of like this thing kind of took me somewhere because it told me it was going to take me to big and better things. You know, this disease, man, is so skillful. And then they say that we didn't know we had a problem until we got here, right? Because, see, all I was saying, if I could just stop shooting dope, right, all would be well. Now, I didn't know I had problems with living, right? I just thought it was the dope. So you talking about coming from a rude awakening to a spiritual awakening. You know, when they said, you know, drugs ain't your problem. You know, see, this thing here, we got something good working here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, we got some stuff here that's going to get you out of you, right? Because, see, what I'm doing now, you know, back in the day, they used to say something like, others have to die, so some others have to die so others may live, right? You know, I don't buy that. What I understand with it today is that something has to die so that something can live. See, so it's that something in me that needs to die so that something in me can live. Right? See, this is what the program is giving me today. You know, I'm talking about coming from somewhere and going to something that, you know, we don't even think we got these issues. We got some serious issues up in here. You know, I mean, we talking about surrendering. You know how you're going through something and people say you need to do a fourth step? You know, and I said with the guys, I said, you know, hey, you probably need to do a first step first, you know, so you can get to the fourth step, you know. Because, see, I understand that there's some things in here that I deal with and I struggle with that I have to surrender to. See, that's the only way I can get to where it is that I need to get to. Because my sponsors tell me, say, look, you need to get to the bottom of what you're trying to get on top of. Right? You know how you come in and you say, I got to get back on top.
Yeah.
You know, get back on top of what? You know, I didn't come here because I lost a job and wife left me and all that stuff and got put out the house. When I got here, I was tired. I was whipped. I was bankrupt. So what was I going to get back on top of? Right? You know, I didn't lose no mansion. I didn't lose no Rolls Royce and all that. And I saw that hope. You know, that wasn't my story. So it wasn't about getting back on top, but that's what I thought. Because I kept saying, I got to get this, I got to get that, I got to do this, I got to do that, you know, and damn. You know, all I had to do was just stop using. You know what I'm saying? You know, because see, the disease told me it was going to take me somewhere, right? It told me, I believed it. I bought into the hype, you know, not even knowing that I was buying into something, right? See, I ain't know nothing about the compulsion and the obsession that this thing brings with it. Right? See, the compulsion and obsession, I ain't know that. I know when I started shooting that BAM, I mean, it started before that. You know, smoking the weed and the alcohol and all that, you know, it was the fun thing. You know, when I started using it, was fun. It wasn't about I was feeling inadequate or I felt indifferent. You know, I mean, I'm being real now. I didn't start doing what I did because, at least I didn't think that, you know. I thought it was just fun. You know, it was fun. You know, and then I look up, and I got to live to use and use to live. And find ways and means to get more. Now, I can't give you a date when that happened, right? I can't give you a date on that, but that's what happened. And I look up, and I'm saying, damn, you know. But then I still don't know I got a problem, right? You know, I don't know it. I don't know it. You know, and just for the day, yesterday it was talking about a closed mind. It said, new idea cannot be grafted onto a closed mind. Open-mindedness leads us to the very insight that has eluded us during our lives. You know, now I ain't know something was eluding me, right? I ain't know that. You get here, you know, you start finding out some stuff. You know, you start waking up to some urges, right, that you was never woken up with. You know, you start seeing some stuff. You be getting involved with you. You know, people coming in here, you know, I, like Roy was saying, you know, my first 5 years in recovery, man, I was scared to death. You know, my mother said, can you help me do this and do that? I said, Ma, I got to go to a meeting. You know, I mean, that's just how I was locked into this thing, you know, because I was afraid. But see, I didn't know that because you talking about a guy that suffered from know-it-allism. You know, I knew it all, you know. I mean, that's a hell of a thing to know everything and can't get out of a wet paper bag, you know. Can't even get out of it, you know. Can't even get off the block, you know, stuck. I'm talking about stuck into something that you don't even know you stuck in. And if somebody was to ask you a question, why are you doing what you're doing, you know, you will have something very intelligent to tell them, you know. And don't even know, you know. Like they say, we was the last ones to know that we had the problem that we had. Everybody else saw it, you know. So I'm really truly grateful for this program, right? And the day and the just what they talked about, the big picture. They say all spiritual awakenings have some things in common. Common elements include the end of to loneliness and a sense of direction in our lives. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to know where to go and how to get there. Now, Roy said it, you know, dang. I didn't want to ask nobody. I was directed to St. Luke's, right? I was directed over there, you know, and they said, you get with this brother over here, you know, Brother Rick and them, they'll help you. They'll put you back together, you know, and that was it. That's when it started. Because, see, what I understand today, after being here a little while, right, these steps, man, they something. First step, man, look, the first step is so simple that it'll blow right by us, you know. I mean, we talking about not using, but are we really involved with the understanding of what the first step is really trying to give us? You know, that's the thing where I'm at. That's where I'm at today. You know, I'm talking about the first step with 23 and a half years in recovery. I know how it was in the beginning, but I'm talking about being in here now and still get caught up with compulsion and obsession. You know, I'm talking about right now, you know, and be walking with it and sometimes don't even recognize that I'm caught in it. I'm talking about today, right? This is just for today program. It ain't, you know, you think you look at somebody and you see them with some time up in this camp and you be like, why are they going through that? You know, why are they struggling with that? You know, that's why I'm here. Because I'm struggling with that. You see what I'm saying? You know, so let's be clear on this thing, man. This thing ain't, because see, I thought, you know, I was sharing with a newcomer one time, and I was sharing with him how long I've been doing this thing, and he was looking at me like, what's wrong with you? Why are you still here? That was the look he had on his face, right? Because, you know, all I need is about 6 months of this thing, and then I can go back and do what I do. You know, I can go back and do what I do. You know, I just need a little clarity. You know, just a little bit of clarity on how to do this thing again. And it said it in here, in the first step. It said, it doesn't matter what or how much we use. In Narcotics Anonymous, staying clean has to come first. We realize that we cannot use drugs and live. We realize that. We realize that. Now, if you haven't got to that we yet, because see, we ain't talking about Leon's version. We talking about we realize it. We realize that we can't do that. Now, you got to go through what you got to go through up in here. You know, they told me, you know, Leon, you cannot deny nobody their pain, because I was one of them kind of addicts, right? That when people that was close to me relapsed, I was caught up, man. I didn't have no understanding. Because I thought everybody felt like I did, right? Then I had to register the fact that, you know, what addicts do, they use. So I got better with that, you know. I'm talking about with some time up in here, not even thinking about people, you know, that we do what we do, we use. Wasn't even thinking about that. I was just so happy that I found a home, right, that I found somewhere that I could belong and do what it is that I do. This thing here, man, this is a beautiful program. You know, it's beautiful to the point that it's going to open you up. Because, see, the theme is really telling us. It said one promise, many gifts. Now, the many gifts, man, of opening you up to something that you didn't even know was possible. You know, because we thought that we would never be nothing. We could never do nothing. You know, we felt and believed that. To the bitter end that, you know, because I ran with a theory that I was going to shoot dope till the day that I die. Because that was the feeling that I had when I was using. You know, I felt that. It was nothing else. I didn't have no hope, no ambitions about coming out of that. That's just how I felt. I was caught. Now, being caught up in something, now, you know, you get a little clean time, you know, and I had a motivation, you know, because when getting here, you know, I was facing some time, and you know, the judge said, well, you do whatever you want, you know. And I was like, okay. You know, I said, well, maybe if I do them 10 years, maybe that'll help me. Maybe that's what I need. So I started describing my own therapy, you know, my own treatment. I'm telling myself, 10 years, maybe them 10 years will do me good, you know. And as I got closer and closer to that, you know, I started praying more and more, right? I said, maybe that's the wrong approach, you know. Maybe it's another way that I can get myself together, you know, and not knowing where I was going to go, but the judge saw fit to send me somewhere, and I went to a program, and when I got to that program, it was like, you know, after 6 months, I was so withdrawn, you know, that I couldn't even speak my name, you know. I was withdrawn. The drugs had really tore me up, you know, and started coming around, went back to court, you know, and the judge saw fit to sentenced me to the program and put some more time on that to make sure. Because he said, you know, it's still here. You know, if you don't do what I suggested you do, you know. See, the judge have a suggested program, you know. He don't tell you what to do. He suggested, you know. Now, you don't have to take his suggestion. Because he whatever he suggests, if you don't do it, whatever it is that you running from, is still there. It ain't gone nowhere. So, through that suggestion, I stayed and I did what I had to do, and through God's grace, I haven't found necessary to use again, you know. Also, it says in the first, let me say, everything that we have tried fail, we begin to see that we have rationalized the most outrageous sort of nonsense to justify the mess that we have made of our lives. Boy, did I do that? Do I continue to do that? Yes. I rationalize and justify something at the drop of a hat, you know, right today, you know, and be telling myself it's all right. Because I understand that I'm in denial right now about something, and I'm telling myself it's all right. For whatever reason that is, I mean, it's just, you know how we share about how we be thinking, you know, we be thinking. I don't do a lot of thinking. Stuff just comes. You know how stuff be coming and you be like, where it coming from? Because you ain't really thinking this shit up, you know. I know I don't. Some shit be going through my head and I don't be sitting there thinking about it. That shit just come. And I, you know, so I be saying, then when after it come and it go through me, I be saying, you know, I was just thinking, you know. And I wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking about that crazy shit, you know. Who thinks about doing some of the craziness that we do? But the shit just manifests itself because the disease is still living in my house, right? It's still there. It ain't gone nowhere. It manifests itself in all kind of ways, you know. And coming to believe, you know, in this path, you know, my mother passed in December, right? So I'm going through a grieving process. And my mother lived with me for like 4 years, and it's like not seeing her there. You know, in the house, it's a hell of a thing. So what I do, through God's grace and mercy, this program, I had to address it. You know, so what I had to do, I had to go to the first step. I had to surrender. I'm having to continue to surrender to this feeling that I have, right? You know, and then to go on, you know, and I was reading the second step in the green and gold and the basic text, you know, and it was telling me that, you know, Leon, you're going through a fundamental transformation. Yes, you know, you're being built,
yes, sir,
to deal, right? Because, see, my disease and my intellect is telling me I'm supposed to be feeling something else. I'm supposed to be further along in this process already of how I feel about the loss of my mother, right? So what I had to do, I had to share this with the people that's in my life, right? And they told me, you know, bro, you got to allow yourself to feel what it is that you have to feel. That's the only way you're going to get through it. You know, you can't put yourself somewhere that you're not, right, in dealing. So that's getting better. You know, it still hurts, but it's getting better. You know, because and going through the fundamental transformation, right, that the second step talks about, you know, the denial and the delusion, man, of what I think it should be or how I think it should be is really devastating. You know, because our literature is so unique, because it says that we have found a program that if we follow it, right, it can really help us in our everyday lives, everything that we do, everything that we could be confronted with, because in our traditions, you know, it talks about us being thrust together in here, you know, and coming from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all denominations, all different types of understanding, ideologies, and everything. So you got all that together, and then, you know, if we don't have these principles to guide us, then we'll start thinking, right, that we're running something. You know, I mean, this program checks everything. You know, it ain't just about not using, because the many gifts, that when it talks about the broader the base, the higher the freedom, it's talking about life on life terms. It's not talking about, I don't know what we think we talking about, but what I get out of it is it's talking about life on life terms. You know, the higher the freedom from active addiction, there's only one promise. You know, freedom from active addiction. You know, now, this thing is tricky because, see, you know, my sponsor tell me, say, look, Leon, you got to learn how to read between the lines in this thing. You know, because, see, on one page it be saying something else, and on the other it seems like it's contradicting what the other page said, right? And you be confused if you're trying to do this thing by yourself, right? I was instructed to get a program of my own, but not on my own, right? See, it's a difference. You know, get your own program, but you got to get it with the help of the others in this program. You know, you walk around in your own mind, sponsoring yourself, doing what you do, and you think you got a handle on what it is that you understand, and at least you think you do. Right, this thing is so tricky and cunning, man, that, you know, it had you think with 20 years plus in this program that, you know, I don't need to go to as many meetings as I used to. I don't need to, you know, humble myself, you know. I don't need to do the necessary things that I need to do because I should be all right now, right? This thing, man, don't give a damn about what I got, what I've done, who I know, or what I think I know. If I give it an opportunity to do what it do, it's going to do what it do. Right? It's going to tear my black ass up. Yeah. That's what it's going to do. It's going to tear me up. Now, to get caught up in not really realizing, because, see, it goes on to say, you know, you make a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God. Right? For me today, the word, they say the word decision implies action. But for me today, the word turn is what motivates me. Because, see, I'm constantly turning my will and my life over. You know, I'm not constantly making a decision to do that. I'm turning. I'm doing it. For me, the word turn implies action because I'm doing something. You know, it's letting me know that, Leon, if you screwed up today, you can turn it around. Right, you don't have to make a decision to turn around. Turn it around, you know. Just do it, right? Just do it, you know. So that limits me from kind of like being stuck. Cause see, I don't stay as stuck a lot today as I used to. You know, I used to stay stuck in some stuff, man. You know, a lot of folks like the fish sandwich story I always share about. You know, and. That thing, man, really helped me to really see how denial plays a very important part in my story, you know, because that fish sandwich really helped me to see that, you know, I was at work one year. It's been a little while now, but it's still true today, you know. I got a fish sandwich. I was in a hurry. I told the lady I wanted on wheat bread. She saw my anxiety. She put it. One slice of wheat, one slice of white bread, right? So I get the sandwich, I go back to work, I bite it, and it wasn't done, right? The fish wasn't done. Now, when I bit it the first time, I knew it wasn't done, right? But I bit it again, right? Now, when I bid it the second time, it still wasn't done. Right? Now, I knew it when I bid it the first time, it wasn't done. But I bid it the second time, it still wasn't done. And you know, believe it or not, right? I bid it again. Right? Now, when I bid it the third time, I accepted it. Right? I said, it ain't done. Right? Now, I don't know why I had to go three times to accept that it wasn't done. Right? But that it wasn't, you know, but why I do what I do? You know, we continue to go and go and go, right, until we, you know, we can't go no more. And then we accept it. You know, and see, that's why the important thing in this program, right, is that, you know, we talk about going through a lot of stuff, and you know, I guess one of the bigger issues in here is that what we go through. Let's talk about relationships, right? Let's talk about that with the 1, 2, 3. You know, they talk about that the expiration, and it's, you know, it's over, but you still stay, right? Because you know we have hope. You know, see, the denial and the disease that's linked to the denial would tell us that, you know, it's going to get better. Your ass is whooped. But you still believe in your heart and your mind and your soul that it's going to be all right one day. One day. Now, you've been getting your ass whooped for years. You know it just ain't happening. It just ain't happening, but you just believe that, right? And that's part of our disease. Our disease will tell us, man, it's going to get better. Just hold on, you know, because, see, we'll take, don't give up before the miracle. See, we'll take that and run with it, right? You be looking for a miracle to happen, you know, because you caught up. The compulsion and obsession got your ass, right? You can't see nothing. You can't even see clear of what you need to see clear of, right? Because you believe that it's going to get better. You know, you done got hit in the head with bricks and everything. You know, your ass on fire. You run around with gasoline drawers on. You still telling yourself it's going to be all right. You know, I mean, you see it. You know, you still believe. You know, and that's hope used in the wrong way. Right? There's some realities that's connected to this hope that you have. You know, it's time to move on. You know, that's the hope. That's the real hope. Right? Because how long are you going to continue to keep getting your ass kicked? Right? So I get in touch with that because, you know, I got to surrender. I got to come to believe. Right? And I got to have faith. I got to trust in the process. Right? And trusting in the process, that's how I get to the fourth step. Right? Doing the 1, 2, 3. You know, I don't just go to the fourth. You know, if I can't let go of something, I'm going to start writing. I got to surrender to that shit. You know, so I can see what I'm getting ready to write about. Or share about, or whatever it is. I need to stop doing something so I can get to the exact nature of my wrong. Right? My wrong. I ain't talking about your wrong. I'm talking about what's keeping me bound down, weighed down with some shit that really ain't real. You know? Because we believe in fantasy in here, you know. We believe that if we get all the dope in the world, you know, old time used to always say, you know, God rest his soul, he used to always say if they told you could get all the dope that you wanted for $2, you know what we'll say, give me $4. Girl. we just built like that, you know. We built like that, you know. They tell you, you know, take one, and you say, well, shit, if I take two, it's going to be better. Yeah. You know, and that's how we do, you know. You can't just, one just ain't enough. Yeah. I don't care what we dealing with, you know. One just ain't enough. So I'm truly clear on this program today, man, that it will help me in all areas of my life because I'm truly understanding today that I'm struggling. I'm still struggling with Leon. Leon still needs to do what Leon needs to do what he needs to do. You know, and whatever it is that I need to do, I need to do it. Now, I ain't always doing what I need to do, right? I still like to do what I do, you know. I'm a diabetic, so, you know, I got a fascination with ice cream. The guys always mess with me, you know. One was messing with me the other day. We was on the corner talking, and he chest tested me. He said, well, look, I'm going to go in the store. You want a piece of chocolate cake? You know. Yeah, Dre, I remember. Look, he was telling. I said, nah, I'm all right. He said, I'm just testing. I just want to see what you was going to say. I said, catch me about 10 minutes later. You know, I might take you up on it. You know, because that's what I do. And this was some of the things that my mother helped me with. You know, because the denial, man, I mean, I know this stuff. I got butter almond, man, Bride's butter almond. Look. Don't put it in front of me, right? Because, see, my mother used to, her room was right by the kitchen, man. She used to say, why do you keep running back and downstairs getting that ice cream? I said, well, my stomach is hurting. I said, it's helping my stomach, you know? And then I come back and talk about, feel like I'm getting ready to have a heart attack, right? And I go to the doctor, and the doctor say, yeah, you probably is, your sugar off the chart, you know? You talking about 500 and something. You said, you keep doing what you're doing. You know? But I just can't stop. Right? I'm talking about, we talking about continuing to do something and know it's causing you harm. Right? You know it ain't good for you, but I like it. Right? If I'm going to die, I'm going to die doing what I like. Ain't that the same attitude we had when we was doing what we was doing? Right? So how far am I from that? Right? Just because I ain't using no shooting dope, but I still will use right today in this program. So I want to thank the Central Maryland man for asking me, Colin, good young brother, man. He asked me to share on this, and you know, I love him, man. You know, I had him down in D.C. sharing at a meeting, and, you know, he was like his posse couldn't come. But I told him we had his back,
yes, sir.
You know. And he gave up a good message of hope, man. And I'm just truly grateful for this process of recovery because I continue to want to live. It ain't done yet. You know, it ain't done yet. You know, so if you see me doing something that you think I shouldn't be doing because I done been here 23 and a half years, just keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.